Dave Meltzer here sat down with Anthony Lynn, head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. We talked about how a competitive environment forces you to focus on doing little things right, whether there will ever be an NFL franchise in London, and finally, balancing a demanding career with family and relationships. Stick around for all of that and more, only on The Playbook. This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer. This is Dave Meltzer, CEO of Sports One Marketing with Entrepreneur The Playbook, and this is a special day for me. I see the Bolt in front of me, and I see the leader of the Bolts. Coach Lynn, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thanks for taking the time during camp to talk to me. I always think the best guest I can have on the playbook, we've had some Hall of Famers, some great Olympians, but the head coach of an NFL team, now, there was a job that in sports that I actually thought I could get. But it's not easy. I played Division III ball, and I kept telling people, you know what? I'm just a student of the game. Someday I'm going to be a head coach. And I went to law school. I figured that would even help. And but I want to, you know, a lot of people out there think narrow about jobs in sports, and they dream about being a head coach. But it's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
You know, in fact, one of the things I said about Coach Peterson for the Eagles, I said, I believe in dreaming big, and you know that's how I ended up being the CEO of Lee Steinberg. I dream big, most notable sports agency. But if somebody would, if I were to run into him 10 years ago when he was a high school coach, and he would say, "Dave, I'm going to win the Super Bowl, be the coach of the Eagles, and beat Belichick," even I would have been like, "Man, that's a lofty dream." What dream do you? What dream is it that you had? You know, 10 years ago.
You know, my dream and my passion was to help young men. I had great coaches coming up, and I grew up without a father, and so coaches were like father figures to me. And I always said I wanted to give back, and I never made it back down to high school or the college level, so I thought I'd stay in the NFL. Mike Shanahan gave me an opportunity, but I always thought I'd go back to high school or college, and I never did because I realized
that, successful.
You know, well, I realized there's a platform here in the NFL for me as well. And I can help these young men as well. And so that's my whole motivation. My passion is to help young men. And by doing that, it just kind of led to a head coaching position. I kept getting elevated, and I was ready for it.
And you kept getting elevated. Why? What were you focused on? Why do you think, I mean, as an African-American coach, first one for the Chargers, why do you think, what's the difference of what you do? Because there's a lot of coaches, right? But I find there's certain characteristics or focus on skills, on knowledge. What were you doing that's a little bit different, or you just did it better?
You know, I don't know. I wasn't in those other interviews, so I don't know how those went. But my focus was winning championships and building a championship culture and explaining and helping people see the vision that it's bigger than just the locker room and coaches. It's an organization. And so that's kind of where I focus during my interviews. And I think I kind of connected with some owners.
And as far as what you look for to empower young men, because as much as we know, I think you have more impact on high school kids and college kids by being a head coach in the NFL than you would if you were coaching, you know, if you're the new coach of Ohio State. Sorry, Joey. Anyway, but what is it that you're looking to empower when you get these young men like Joey Bosa, who has tremendous potential? I'm sure you want to develop his skills, but there's a part of you that you're empowering them some characteristics or something.
You know, you never know how you're going to impact a young man. You just don't. But I know that too many of us right now are playing this game, and we're leaving this game, and we're failing in life. And a lot of us are excelling and doing really well. But too many are failing. If one is failing, that's too many for me. And so I talk to these guys about tying their identity to something else. At the same time, staying focused right now on the job at hand, but also be prepared to leave this game one day, because this is just a small speck of your life. You got a lot of life left after this. And so I just want to be productive. You know, my grandfather used to always say, be productive and be good for something, or what's your purpose in this world if you're not?
I love it. Yeah, the two things I was told is productive and accessible, right? So, right, because a lot of people that are just productive, they forget what good is that if you're not accessible to your family, your team, all of those other things.
Yeah, build your success on top of someone else's.
Elevate
along
others
those lines.
To
absolutely.
Elevate yourself,
absolutely.
Which you're great at. A lot of people don't understand there's only 32 of your jobs in the world, and there's a lot of pressure. When you talk about staying present and worrying about today, how do you stay focused knowing, you know, the extraordinary pressure of, you know, I love the NFL because a team can start 0-2, and I love the fact that 90% of your fans, the season's over. And
right. No, no doubt, no question.
Right, and I've seen the Chargers come
falling.
Back. The sky's falling. And like everybody, you know, you walk anywhere and you hear it. And,
no,
you know, Jeff Morad was my partner at Lee's and was blessed to buy the San Diego Padres. And I was in discussions with him for president of the team. And that went through my mind. I'm like, first of all, it's not a winning organization, but, you know, all my family, my friends, everybody's down there. I could just imagine, you know, going 70 and 92, you know, and the phone, I wouldn't be able to handle it. How do you handle, number one, that pressure of knowing, or do you think it's any different than any other job?
Well, for me, I have to eliminate distractions. And when during the season, I don't read a lot of paper. I don't listen to a lot of talk radio. Because you try to not let that stuff affect you, but it does. You're human. So I just don't listen to it.
So if the president tweets about you, would you?
I would never know. I would never know. I mean, hell.
I'd come to your defense, though, just so you know.
I mean, well, we started the season off last year 0-4, and they're calling for my head.
Right.
And I come to work every day like I'm Vince Lombardi.
Nice.
You know, so I just try to stay focused on the job at hand. And understand that, you know, you're going to have peaks and valleys, bumps in the road. And it's that real character and grit that helps you overcome those things. And that's what this team had last year.
How do you, a lot of young players,
yeah,
a lot of distractions. You know, social media wasn't around when you and I were growing up. And, you know, I have to deal with it in my job. How do you try to communicate to the players the same attitude that you have? Because, you know, I was at the Hall of Fame and with Chad Steele from Baltimore, you probably know, right? Chad's telling me, oh, there's this one player. It's like I had to get him to stop because the minute the game was over, he's looking on social media and it was affecting him. How do you communicate? Maybe it's best to just stay focused on football and let all the rhetoric be the rhetoric, or don't you get involved at all?
You know, I do emphasize it. I tell the guys, just like I said, eliminate the distractions, you know, stay off the social media. And if you put something out there, you have to understand that it's out there, you know. So don't make emotional decisions by getting on it right after games. They're going to look at it, you know, some are, some not. But it definitely can affect the way you come to work and do your job. And I just try to emphasize that and make sure they understand it.
Sweet. And I know mentorship is so important in coaches. If you look at the coaching tree, you know, as it goes from Walsh to Parcells to, you know, some of the greats, that it all comes down, Shanahan. Yeah. What did Shanahan, obviously you were running back, a lot of people won the Super Bowl, kind of like you're my C.J. Anderson. So where C.J.'s playing now with Cam.
Right.
I hope you beat them too. But what do you think he taught you most? Because I'm sure there's things that he taught you that just accelerated your career. Were there certain things that he taught you or advice that he gave you that really sticks with you?
Mike was very detailed. Now, I have a lot of mentors, and every coach that I've played for and coached with, you know, have taught me something. But Mike was very detailed, and he helped me understand that in this league, it's the little things that make the biggest differences, because we're all elite. We all have the same facilities. We all have the same resources, same talent. It's the little things that make the biggest difference, and I try to help the players understand that.
That's great. Now, I business coach a lot of people now, and one of the biggest challenges they have is to be the best in the world at something, which when you're head coach of football, you're the best in the world at something, but you also have to have a family. And I know that creates challenges in all entrepreneurs' life. You know, they want to sacrifice, be focused, et cetera. How do you balance? Because your wife's a very successful newscaster in New York. How do you balance having a successful relationship but still being focused enough on what you're doing?
It's challenging during the season. You know, I try to tell my son. My son's a safeties coach for the Texans now. He came in this business, and I said, kid, you just eliminated 2/3 of the women that you could have married.
So at least.
At least.
Yeah.
least. So It's challenging that way, but if you have the right partner and
you manage expectations.
Yeah, you manage expectations. You guys trust one another. You can make it work, and they understand when you're not home and you're working long hours all the time during the season. It's just the part we were talking about earlier, just the distractions. You know, like my daughter had to eliminate her Twitter account last year and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, sweetheart, just stop reading this stuff. Stop looking at it. But she can't, you know. And then they go to games and, you know, they got to hear it in the stands. And, you know, it's
or overhear it, right?
Overhear it, yeah.
Even my kids, they overhear things or, you know, it's crazy. And people don't realize it. I remember, you know, Warren Moon's my business partner and my best friend. And there was an incident with his wife, you know, years ago. And I made a joke. It was in the news. And I made a joke, as best friends would, right? And, you know, he's pretty melancholy. He gave me this really stern look, and he goes, that's not very funny to my kids. You know, they're going to high school at the time, right, Dave? And it, as an agent and a friend, I felt, you know, this tall going, gosh, I don't even think about that. And it's funny, I tell this story on Instagram. I came home, and I have three daughters, which I'm grateful for because they don't want to see me, and an eight-year-old son. But the teenager's like, Dad, you're famous. And I was like, well, what are you talking about? You know, I'm like, just you famous. If I go somewhere, they're like, just you. Right. She said, you're verified. I didn't even know what that meant, right?
I still don't.
Right. It's a blue check by your name that you like, you're a public figure or something. It means you're famous on the internet, right?
Okay.
Right, exactly. But then they started reading stuff that people would say about, you know, the TV show I do or a podcast or something I post, right? And taking offense, your dad's a moron. And I try to tell them, no, your dad is a moron at times, you know, but the business of sports is interesting. And as you have evolved, you have a new stadium. Do you get involved or see the league? I'm looking at this big stadium. Do you have any feeling for the popularity of football in general? I believe that they don't have a good criteria of knowing these numbers. I think more people are involved in football right now than ever, even though TV numbers are down. They just can't track how people, do you, as a coach, all these years and a player, do you feel less inertia?
No,
or
not
it's
at all.
Not, right?
I think the game is more popular now than ever. I think the ratings may be down because people may be streaming or whatever they do.
They can't track it.
And they can't track it, but I've traveled out of the country when I get a chance. My wife and I would like to travel, and outside this country, internationally, you know, people love this game. And I've been doing it for a while, and it's gotten more popular and more popular. And so I just don't see it, you know.
I don't either. Now, you guys are going to London this year.
Yeah.
Have you played over there yet?
Once.
You did. I went last year to the Dolphins. Mike Tannenbaum and I.
Yeah. Mike's a great friend.
Yeah, so we went to law school together. We spoke over there, and then I got to go to the Dolphins-Saints game. There's a million people at the tailgate. Yes. And wow, the same weekend I'm watching on TV, you know, this worry that less people are watching football. I'm thinking, I'm in London, and most of the people may or may not even know how the game goes. Do you foresee a team, do you think, moving to London, like Jacksonville?
I could definitely see it happening. I mean, they support NFL football over there.
Yeah,
and, you know, every team that comes, you know, they sell out. You go to the rallies. I mean, they're everywhere. Like you say, by the millions. I can definitely see that. Probably be a part of the NFC East. I mean, when I was in New York flying to California, it was basically the same flight.
But harder because you're going the wrong way. You get the advantage, right?
Exactly.
Speaking of which, you know, there is a lot of travel involved. And you have, once again, young guys with travel. What travel advice do you give? Because this is true for entrepreneurs as well. You know, what travel advice do you give your guys? Because I think it's even more important physically to be prepared. But, you know, there's entrepreneurs flying back and forth. You wouldn't want to see my schedule from Hong Kong to Mexico City. What advice do you give the guys about, you know, being prepared to go all the way back east when they go?
Well, one of the things we do when we go east, we wear dress sweats for more blood flow circulation and more comfortable on the flights. And so we do everything for guys' recovery. Shorter flights, we'll put the coat and tie on. But long trips, we try to go sweats.
How many days early do you go?
We'll leave 2 days early if we're going east.
And you let them stay on this time schedule as far as going to sleep? You know, let them stay
no,
later?
You know, I've been at organizations that did it that way. We switch. As soon as we get there, we go to that time table, and that's what we do. And it's worked fine.
What do you think is the biggest challenge for I believe teams have collective beliefs. And I think, for example, Belichick is great at creating a collective belief. I think last year I watched your team and, you know, going 0-4, you all of a sudden created a collective belief for the team. You could see teams that play and at the end of the game they believe they're going to win compared to teams where it's like, oh no, Tom Brady has the ball, we lost. Right? They've already lost, you know. And but I really felt that you create a collective belief with your team. Are you conscious of that, or are there skills that you use to create kind of this team thought of, you know, just keep playing and we're going to win?
Well, during the offseason, why it's so important that all you guys are here is that's when they really get to know one another. When the season starts, things are happening too fast. Everyone's at their position groups, their coaches. But during the offseason, these guys get a chance to come together. We do team activities. We do exercises where these guys get together in huddles and they just talk about things, life. They get to know one another. They start developing trust with one another. And I think when you have that, then you can go into a season, you can have some conflict. And it's 0-4 starts or whatnot. You don't want that, but you can overcome it when you do because of the trust factor. And these guys, the way they related to one another, the way they kept playing, the way they kept fighting, it was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. But they never quit. They never gave up. And I think a lot of it is because they care about one another. You know, we have three things that we really value, and that's we want to always compete, and we want to be tough, and that has nothing to do with physical. That's tough-minded. That's mental toughness. And we want to be selfless. We want to care about one another and love one another. And they do those three things as good as any team I've been on.
I agree, and it's awesome. Now, every once in a while, you get bad breaks. And yep. It's tough sometimes, especially with your most competitive players and emotional players. We watch Ray Lewis at the Hall of Fame. You could see why he was so great, because he's willing to die on a field, right? But he's so emotional, that also can work against you. You know, losing some games because of missed kick, it can create, you know, even if the best of friends, right, you can have this emotion. What do you do to keep your team emotionally level? Or are you okay with big mood swings?
You know, we try to stay consistent. You know, that's one of the ways our guys get evaluated is consistency. And I would let you know if your emotions are causing you to play inconsistent, then we need to do something a little differently. You know, there are some guys like you don't want to take those emotions away. That's part of their fabric. That's what made them who they are. And so each guy is different.
That's great. What's your favorite part of your job?
Oh, just coming to work every day, working with these young men and these coaches, you know, the relationships, you know, football. At the end of the day, football is a relationship business.
Last question. After it's all said and done, you've had a tremendous career. You know, I even say tremendous career playing because, as my business partner, Warren, always says, anyone that holds a Super Bowl ring has had a hell of a career, right? And he played all those years, and he's in the Hall of Fame, but he doesn't have one.
Well, he still had hell of a career.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, there's a different career, but he would do a lot to trade for the ring you have. But moreover, with everything that you've done and been a success at, and you still have a lot of years to go, but what legacy do you want to leave?
You know, I want to serve, and I want to have an impact.
That's easy. Spoken like a true champion and a true coach, simple, truthful, and impactful. You got another big fan right here, so I appreciate
it, brother.
This is Dave Meltzer with Coach Lynn, future Super Bowl champion again, and I'm going to be there with Entrepreneur, The Playbook.
Thanks for tuning in, and remember to subscribe on your favorite platform so you can catch new episodes every week of Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.